Trigger warning, at the end of the episode, there is mention of suicidal ideation. I hope you know that there's always someone to talk to, and you can reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Before we get started, I wanted to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this season, Salomon, who I've had the privilege to be an ambassador with for the last year. Salomon doesn't just talk the talk in regards to comfort and versatility, they also walk the walk. This weekend, as my husband Eric and I were doing some labor-intensive yard work, Eric asked me to put some closed-toed shoes or boots on if I was going to help him stack the firewood. I'm a pretty minimal person and I don't really have that much gear. And so originally I didn't even know what to put on. And then I remembered that I just got the Salomon Predict hiking boot, which not only gives you amazing ankle support, but also feels as lightweight as a normal tennis shoe. It was so, so comfortable. Having shoes that work for both my long hikes and my chores at home is exactly what you can expect from a band that values every form of outdoorsiness, because being outside is outdoorsy enough. Y'all should check out the show notes because it shows the Predict Hike boots that I'm talking about and other products that will encourage you to get outdoors in whatever way that works best for you. Welcome to the fifth episode of the Underneath It All Trail series, a podcast that tells a story of a holistic approach to an outdoor adventure as I attempt to bike pack, backpack from Canada to Mexico. My hope is that by bringing you on trail and sharing these conversations between me and a few others, you can learn how to have conversations about your mental health with people that you trust. You can have a better understanding of others around you, learn to accept and fully embrace your truest narrative, and continue to break the negative stigma that has engulfed mental health. Last week, we started part one of this two-part series with my coach Liz on the CDT. Although you don't have to listen to part one to necessarily understand this episode, I definitely recommend listening to it because Liz gives such great advice on how to listen to our body and our mind after we get caught in a gnarly lightning storm that caused me to second guess how far I could actually push my mind and body. Here are a few moments that really stood out to me.
We can be unlimited as long as we are willing to work around our limits and work with our limits. Having compassion for everything that our body does for us, especially on a big backcountry trip, and then just realizing that, like, you know, sometimes it's gonna struggle.
Want to be in the shame cycle right now? I feel like I'm kind of stopping myself every few minutes because I'm so used to, like, punishing myself. To me, this is like failure. This is not being good enough. But that's not true. Like, it means that I'm listening to myself and I'm doing it with someone I'm comfortable with. We pick up this story back at my house in Moab, Utah. It's been several weeks since I made the decision to, spoiler alert, quit the trail. Although I have no regrets on the decision, it's been hard to explain all of the whys. If I had only listened to my mind and body alone, I feel like I would have stayed out there for much longer. But when we added the final piece of the puzzle, testing mind, body, and then soul, with someone who's known me for over a decade, my decision became pretty clear. I am sitting in a room with my best friend in the entire world.
Hi.
Hi, Diane. I love you.
I love when you hold my hand. I'll say it.
I never thought I would get the chance to have Diane on the show. Diane and I have known each other for over a decade, and besides playing piano and violin duets mediocrely, which is what you just heard, our hobbies have always been pretty different, and yet we've been each other's person since high school. We've changed so much over the years, and yet our deep friendship has remained one of the strongest relationships in my life. Probably because since day one, we've always accepted each other for who we are and where we're at in life, without any judgment or shaming one another.
The scene is 2010. I feel like this is the most Griselle meeting story I could come up with, and it is what happened. But I had just graduated high school. We had never met before, though we had many mutual friends. Mm-hmm. And I think, in fact, you had added me on Facebook. So we were technically friends, even though we weren't in real life friends.
Was that a weird time to do that?
No.
Is it like following someone on Instagram?
I think so. You know, it'd be like, oh, find me on Facebook. Except I never said that to you.
Because we'd never spoken.
Yeah, but you know, Facebook, I think, would do that. Like, mutual. Suggested friends. Oh, hey, these people are friends. Don't you want to be? Anyway, so we were Facebook friends, and it was summertime, getting lunch with my friend Rachel, who you knew. And so you came over to talk to us after you were done eating. And I think we had finished, too. But you were like, oh, my gosh, hi, I'm Griselle.
Big fan.
Big fan. We're friends on Facebook. We haven't met, but we're friends on Facebook, and hi, I'm Griselle. And I was like, oh, hi, like, Rachel knew you too. So it wasn't, like, super weird, you know? Like, so we're, like, talking, you and Rachel and me. And then you were like, we should hang out, and I'm pretty sure you got my phone number. And then we pretty much immediately, thanks to you, set up a date to hang out. And
was it that same day?
It was either that same day or the next day. And I came over to your house, and your grandpa was there, and he only speaks Spanish. And so, like, the first moments of meeting your entire family, I met your mom and your dad and your grandpa and Natalia. And I also do not speak Spanish myself, so it was just probably, like, 15 minutes of me smiling at a room, you know, while you guys we're talking, and he, of course, was so sweet and smiley, so it's like, I feel like he likes me, even though I don't know.
He's the best. He did.
You know. And then we went up to your room, and we probably talked until, like, 3 a.m. I mean, it was probably the most intense, immediate friendship I've ever had, and I think I was dating someone, and you had just ended something with someone, so we talked about boys a lot. And we talked about all sorts of things and stayed up way too late. And then it was just kind of like, oh, well, we are now friends. We've caught up on 20 years of life, you know, 18 years of life, whatever. Really never lived in the same city ever because I went off to college. I would see you on my breaks from school. Yeah.
We did summers together and, like, winters together.
Yeah, and we always had great summers
together. We had great summers.
We'd, like, go out on the town. We'd create themes for ourselves and, like, dress up in themes that no one else was participating in, and just have the best time.
We had so much fun.
We had so much fun, and we also, again, stayed up so late talking about real things.
Very real things.
You were sort of like popcorn dating for a while, and I was also dating a psychopath, so or sociopath. I haven't educated myself on, you know, the intricacies of both, but he was one of those. We had a lot to talk about.
But we also had so much fun, like, because we both played music, and so we had that in common. I hated my family, so I was always at your house, and then
my mom always loved you.
Yeah, and your mama was always cooking for me, and your brothers were, you know, mean to me in the best way, and so
yeah,
I felt like
mean to everyone.
Yeah, it's the best, but it's like that sibling love that I didn't have. So I needed that.
Your parents are like different people now, which I'm so glad that we have each other to validate our memories of them because it was a crazy time.
Yeah,
of, like,
it was bad.
My mom would talk you down from, like, oh, that's actually, no, I would never say that to my child. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, you feel terrible because they're making you feel terrible.
Yeah.
How much you're eating or how little you're exercising or whatever
body
it is.
Image. It was just a really toxic environment. I feel like as much bonding as there was during that time, there was also so much growth happening between us, too. Mm-hmm. You were going through a lot with school and, like, dating and religion, like, there's so much that you're learning, and then you went to California randomly, and stayed for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like why we've lasted so long is I told you this literally today, how I feel like we've always been able to communicate the hard things, even if it's really scary for both of us.
I'm so glad you said that today because you told me I'm hard on myself.
And you
it's
really
because
are.
I am. And I have, because I've had people tell me, I wouldn't say I'm good at communicating. I think with you, I'm comfortable and therefore I probably do just fine.
Yeah.
We have survived many phases and many years of really not living in the same city ever. Mm-hmm. So there's something about this friendship that is very deep and real for both of us.
Yeah. I've never had anybody that was able to not go through something that was even remotely similar, but also have so much empathy at the same time. I think that's very rare in somebody. And I feel like the fact that you can do that so easily with everybody around you, like you do give empathy. I remember that fucking night where I was a total bitch to you in LA. And like, I had that trigger and I projected all of that shit on you. For backstory, I feel like you bought me a ticket to come visit you after I got broken up with and also left Christianity. And it was like, that was right before Eric.
Yeah.
And I came and visited you because I was so, so, so confused and hurt. And you bought me a ticket.
And you had just finished a hike and like at Mount Whitney, I picked you up. I had just started dating someone too.
Yeah. So oh my God. Like,
I think that also compounded the feelings.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. There was a lot there.
Yeah.
When I met your boyfriend and I was like fucking pissed
hated
him for no reason, projecting my own stuff onto you and him. Mm-hmm. And then that night when we got back, I was really hurt by some projection of my own past or whatever. And I remember being mean to you for like the first time ever. Yeah. I like will always remember. It was the first time I didn't have control over like what was coming out of my body. And it was such a wake-up call for every reasons, like the person that I actually do love the most and that I've trusted so much in my, like, for years now, like, I just yelled at and I cannot even believe that I did that. Getting through that together and working through that is, I think it's one of the biggest reasons why I love you so much.
That memory for me is like the first time I've ever been scared with you.
Yeah.
And now I have words, I think, for it, because I now know this about myself, that I do get overwhelmed by intense emotions, mm-hmm. and that's just the type that I am. But I didn't have words for it back then. I just knew I was scared. You were literally looking at flights to leave me early, and I was like, don't. But also, this is me, like, anti-confrontation to the max, and also, like, you know, like, she's got to live her own path, you know? Like, that's me normally. I'm watching my best friend, it feels like she's spiraling and I don't know how to help and I don't know what to say that is right. I don't know what is right to say. And I just know that I don't want you to go, you know, like very basic baby talk. And yeah, and I think the next morning you like did some meditation and breathed a little and you're much more talkable to the next day.
Yeah.
We must be a very good pair for each other. You process things very quickly and intentionally. And I'm patient, you know? I don't say things right away. I don't react because I'm usually processing things without knowing it myself. And then by the time you come around and have put words to what just happened, I'm happy to be explained to you. Like, I'm like, oh, thank God. Okay, I've been frozen in fear for 24 hours and I'm so glad you're back. You know, like, okay. Yeah. So I think it's mutually beneficial for us both.
I think it's mutually beneficial, but I also think it's a special gift of yours to be so genuine about not knowing what to say. Because I think that's something that a lot of people feel pressure to. And to say, I don't know what to say, but I love you and I don't want you to go. I mean, that is all I needed to not, right? Like, you actually said the most perfect words was like what you were feeling and that you didn't know how to, you weren't aware of how to process it. And I think that really defines our friendship in so many ways. The way that you've always approached me, I think it's actually so humble of you to be like, I don't know what to say. You've never been through it. And like, especially just what we've gone through, so different, you know? And the fact that you've always been willing to work on communicating with me what you need in the space and like vice versa. I don't know. It's just been, I mean, that's why you're my person, my dude. Like, you truly are. I can literally tell you anything and it's not gonna freak you out. That validates a lot of people's experiences.
It's 100% mutual, yeah, too. And you're really the only person in my life that I can talk about literally anything to.
Yeah.
You know, I have certain audiences for certain things, but it's like, oh, I don't really talk about my dating life with her, or yeah, I don't really talk about my work life with her, yeah, you know? Like,
yeah.
And you just kind of encapsulate. Kind of, you take them all.
So I recently turned 30, and maybe it's just me, but making friends as an adult feels a lot like making friends in middle school all over again. And then when COVID happened, it only added to that social anxiety fear of making genuine and intentional friendships that value boundaries, that can have difficult conversations and willing to work on communication through experiences. This friendship with Diane is rare. And I think because it is so rare, it's only made me appreciate the vulnerability that Diane and I share together. A vulnerability that encourages growth within myself and accountability to stay true to who I know myself to be, despite the constant societal pressure to perform, and for me, without caring about what the algorithm or other people say about me on social media.
In the midst of all of what we just said, you've had a lot of changes in your life. You've always been very grounding, I feel like, in the midst of all your transitions. You know, I've been going through a lot of transitions. I've always craved feeling safe and have not really been able to find that until, like, obviously very recently. Mm-hmm. But I did find safety with you, and I found obviously safety with Eric, because I feel like I've always felt safe with you. I've also felt very safe admitting when I fuck up. I'm very intuitive, and so I'm very intentional about things anyway. But to put words to when you're fucking up and, like, actually saying out loud is a really powerful experience. Because I have so much trauma, you know, I've made a lot of stupid decisions, and not, like, out of maliciousness, but truly projections of what I've gone through, you know?
Yeah.
And you're the first person I wanted to talk to when I decided to quit the trail. I genuinely could not imagine if I hadn't been able to talk to you that day. And and it's not because, like, I needed to vent. You've known me for so long and know how hard I work at, like, trying to be better. And this past year and a half, like, I say a lot that I've lost myself there for a minute. And even that statement is pretty hard on myself.
I feel like because I've seen you go through so many phases, I have also seen you make wildly impulsive decisions and just decide things where I've been like, oh, well, she's got to go her own way, you know, like, and just kind of throwing up my hands and ready for the next phone call kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I really do feel like in the last few years that, I mean, it's just been a different version of you.
Yeah.
I think you immerse yourself in your hobbies, but it feels much less like you're escaping or running away from something compared to how it felt several years ago, you know, where it would just be like, well, I'm going to try this now and see if this is my thing. I like now that you're making they feel very intentional decisions.
Yeah.
And I also like, I feel like you were never going to settle down. You were never going to, like, stay in one place. You were going to live in a van. You were, like, not sure if marriage was your thing. And I loved that about you too. But I do love that you still met someone and you met a house that you liked and you let yourself change your mind. Old Grizel would have just stuck blindly to her guns for no reason and been like, well, I made this decision for myself 12 years ago when I said this would never happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, you know, I think you're much better at listening to your gut and letting yourself change your mind.
I appreciate you saying that I immerse myself in my hobbies, not out of escape. I do think that part of it was, but I also think that another part of it was, like, a confrontation of some sort that I needed to go through. You know, like, I never would have changed my mind had I not gone through the last like couple of years of this experience of just like allowing myself to think differently and yeah, just the ability to experience all of the feelings mm-hmm. and then make a decision based off of it.
Yeah.
I went out there with the intention of understanding myself better. And I think that is not the escapist part because I felt somewhat safe in the outdoors to feel and express things. I think that's what attracted me to it in the first place, but I have this ability to go from 0 to 100 and excel at things. And yeah. I don't know why I've found so much ego in that. It's validated something inside of me that I didn't get as a kid. And so I feel like it's like embarrassing to me that I've spent so much of my adult life trying to prove that and like prove myself to myself as if I needed to, and to finally like not feel the need to prove myself, just to fucking quit and like not really even having that big of an excuse. There was a lot of things. It wasn't like I broke my foot and like I had to, you know what I mean? Or like something happened to me so that I had to quit. I made a decision because it just was the right decision for me right now. And that was like it, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just like hate that I've spent so much time. And I think that's why I'm nervous to talk about. I mean, you know, this is why I'm nervous to talk about it, is because I have spent a lot of my life trying to prove myself to myself. Mm-hmm. And I guess I am embarrassed because I've been in some form of public eye.
Why I enjoy seeing you immerse yourself in your hobbies and excel at them is because I feel like when I first met you, even at 18, you were still not... See, I'm a very competitive driven person. So I'm like, oh yeah, I play basketball. You know, like I'm telling you, these are things that I do. But you were never really like braggy about stuff you did. You're like, oh yeah, I play violin. Yeah, you really never drew attention to the things that you could do, probably because you didn't realize that like you were good at them.
And I mean, they were my safe places, right? Like violin was all I had. Mm-hmm. And I think I just didn't understand its value at the time, so it wasn't a big deal, which is probably why it's such a big deal to me now. I'm like, oh my god, like this was everything to me and I didn't even know it.
So all that to say, I feel like when you immerse yourself in your hobbies now, it's like, I mean, I love seeing you act in that confidence when you're like, yeah, I want to bake something for a farmer's market. I'm like, oh great, you can just like decide to that you're gonna do something. That's cool, you know, like, and I aspire to that. I'm like, I have to think about it nervously for 2.5 months and then maybe I'll consider it. So it's just like, to me, it's like this newfound confidence that has just grown and grown and grown. And I think, you know, when you called me and told me the news about the CDT, it just kind of felt like you have reached this point of, I know I'm good at this and I know I could finish it, but I know it's not right for me. This is not for me right now. No. And so I'm withdrawing. And I could also tell you were nervous about it. But I had also had a drink or two because it was probably 11:30 at night on the East Coast. And so I was also just very, I'm sure I talked your ear off.
No.
You're my best friend. I've been talking about you all night. You know? I mean, when you told me, it just felt, it felt correct. I was like, oh. And again, I can't stress this enough. You've called me many times to be like, well, I ended it with so-and-so, you know, and I'm like, oh boy, you know, like it just, I can tell the difference because I can tell when you're,
you know me,
reacting out of something, like out of some terrible feeling, or if you're just like, you know what, I've thought about this and so this is what I'm going to do.
What's hard is you know me and you can tell the difference, but I think I struggle with the fact that no one else seems to understand, but at the same time, like, that's my ego, once again, trying to, like, prove something, I guess.
I was going to ask you if, I know that you've mentioned feeling embarrassed, and I guess I'm wondering if you are embarrassed because you feel you've disappointed yourself, or are you embarrassed because you feel like you're disappointing all these people who follow you and look up to you for these sorts of things?
I don't feel like I disappointed myself at all. That is where I should be making my decisions right now. But I deal with a lot of shame about being happy. In the past, at least. I put myself in shitty situations because I didn't think I deserved to be happy. Like, you know, I dated fucking shitty people because I didn't think I deserved someone that actually liked me and had really shitty friends because I didn't think I deserved good friendships. I feel like that's just been my whole life, is testing all of these ways and areas where I'm not good enough. Try to prove to myself that I'm not good in this situation. And then putting myself in each of those situations, I feel like shit because I'm like, this is so one way and I'm not in this. But I feel like I don't deserve to be happy. And you know, that's why Eric was so earth shattering to me, because I never thought I'd be with someone like him. I fucking love him and he's so good to me. And I just want to start believing that I am good and that I don't have to prove that to anybody. I feel so privileged and I feel guilty about the privilege I hold. And I know that I have a responsibility with this privilege that I am working on and that I am proud of how I'm working on reaching out and getting help and just the way I am serving my community and stuff. You know, reading the things about myself on the internet about how I should have given my bike away immediately because I didn't deserve it. Just things like that, you know, it's hard to hear because I usually think that's true too. You know, I don't feel like I deserve a lot of things that have happened in my life. But then when I go to bed at night, I take so much time to really think about my decisions now and be so intentional and not be reactive. And so I've worked so hard to finally get here. I just am learning to let that part of myself go, to not care, to not make decisions based off of proving that I'm good enough, because I have to see it in myself if I'm gonna see it in other people. And I see it so clearly in other people, so why don't I see it for myself?
I mean, we can all say that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like so quick to praise you and it feels inappropriate to do it about myself,
yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
But you have the added challenge of doing all of this in the public eye. You know, I feel like I would not handle that well. Just knowing myself, and also I do not process things as well as you do, or not as well, but not as quickly as mm-hmm. you do. And I also have a hard time setting boundaries. Just watching how you navigate the social media world is inspiring to me. I mean, I will never do it myself because I know myself.
You could do it too.
If you coached me.
No.
If I could have you to be like, what did you read today, Diane? What are you thinking about deep inside of you?
How does this actually feel?
Because you know, I don't even realize I'm internalizing stuff. Yeah. I'm like reading mean things and I will think about it for years. And you stick around because there are people who are so cool on the internet and people doing the work too. And it almost feels like a little team that you have, you know, and that's so cool. I mean, yeah. If that could be social media, but it's like you also have the awful extremes of just like, I don't even want to call them trolls because they're real people too. They just, I don't know, they get so sucked into this bubble of, you know, you're doing this, but you're not doing this, or you're not doing enough, or we're not pleased with your performance. And it's like, who are you?
Yeah.
You go tend to your family. I do feel like you're extremely intentional with your time these days because you literally have to be. And because the stuff that you have to do every day is very laser vision on everything that you do. And oh, how do you manage to take a break from that or step away from it or do normal things with your family? And I think you do that really well.
That means so much to me. I'm trying so hard. I just care about my family a lot more. When I first started my family, you know, I've taken it for granted. And I just feel like intentionality does not translate well to social media. And I think that's something I struggle with. You know, it's like, I know how I feel and I know where I'm at and I know how my relationships look right now. And like, I can look at the full picture and see like, I've worked hard for this. I'm so willing to continue growing and learn. I don't know how to translate that. How do I encourage other people to also make the leap of faith too, because that doesn't translate well either, you know? And that's why podcasting means a lot to me. And I want people to feel like they can make the really hard decisions that don't look good on social media, but it's just like, it seems like it's so shamed. It's so shamed to make the right decision. And what's praised is disgusting.
I like what you said about intention. You really can't post intention on social media. That's where your close friends have a leg up, because we know you and we love you. and complete strangers, they digest your social media from a totally different perspective. Yeah. And inventing their own intention, yeah, sort of, you know, because there isn't one. So let's make one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but I feel like you can't be responsible for how people interpret something. I mean, it's such a slippery slope, because I don't want that to be an excuse to, like, be an, yeah, asshole online.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But it's like, to a certain extent, you really, all you can do is what is honest to you.
Some friendships take longer, because to develop that kind of trust takes a long time. And so I think I've just been being patient about this process of, like, you know, Grizz, like, you did fuck up a lot. You know, like, I did, and I haven't been a great leader in a lot of ways, and I know that. And it's okay that people also know that. Same way, like, with Eric and I, if he fucking hurts me and, like, he says something that's really mean, it's gonna take me a few days to process that. I do trust him because I know who he is very fully, but with people who don't know you, like, to gain that kind of trust on social media, that has to take forever. No one knows you, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just such a tiny sliver of who I know I am.
So I'm really excited about the workshop idea. There's not much you can do, but you're doing what little you can to, like, get to know people who are people that you know and trust online. Actually talk to each other, because that's, you don't get that just by scrolling.
Working directly with people is definitely my heart and my passion. That makes me happy, is connection, and I think something that I didn't feel like I had for a while. It's been since February, I feel like, since I'm, like, wasn't depressed for the first time in my life. And so I was an advocate for mental health that entire time, for sure. But because I was depressed, I saw the good in everyone else except myself, and ended up self-sabotaging in the midst of seeing other people trying to validate that I was good enough through proving myself in one way or another, which was the only way I could find was doing long distance hikes and doing photography and picking up all these hobbies, because I could just literally learn a hobby and immediately be good at it and then help other people with whatever it was. And it was, yeah, just like one thing after another to validate my feeling of, like, worthlessness and not being enough.
You've always done this. This has always been your personality, where you just give 110% of yourself to other people. And that makes you a wonderful, wonderful friend. But the moment you take that step back, or you have a therapist or someone ask you, like, what are you doing for yourself? If I had someone ask me, what do I like about myself? I would go into, like, an existential crisis. You know, I'd say, yeah, like, oh, I love my butt. And you'd be like, no, but, like, tell me about your personality. What do you think makes you a great friend? I would start sweating. Oh, I guess I don't really consider myself. And I think that's so easy to slip into that for all personality types. I like that you're doing stuff for yourself now. And personally, I want to get better for myself at explicitly communicating my wants and my needs. That is me considering myself for the first time in my life. And so when you call me and you're, like, considering yourself explicitly in front of all these thousands of followers, like, oh, I'm about to quit this trail because I need to for myself and my family, I'm like, wow, you're just saying what you want and you're doing it, you know? And so to see you do stuff like that makes me very, first of all, proud to know you. And second of all, just, she can do it, I can do it, you know?
We all have reasons why we do get stressed about the things that have happened to us in the past. It's not wrong to feel those things. But it's knowing how to accommodate yourself and give you the grace to feel what you're feeling, and also not be controlled by that feeling, and still knowing what you need and what you want. Life is messy and shit fucking happens out of nowhere, you know? And I am gonna run myself to the ground if I continue just doing these things out of just fucking proving myself. That day when I had that hard fucking bike ride that I think I talked about in the last episode, my body was telling me to stop, and I listened to it for the first time. And then the next day we did a really easy day. I could have gone really fucking hard the very next day, but like, what's the point of that? You know, and that was my whole point going into it, was trying to find balance. But then when I actually had to make the decision, it was just so terrifying because of how much I felt the need to prove why I don't need to do something cool to feel cool. And first of all, I'm not cool, but I also don't need to do anything spectacular with my life to feel spectacular. Like, definitely. Actually listening to what I need in that moment is literally enough. And that could be very epic some days, and some days it's not. And I think once you start seeing more special moments, you realize how existing is special enough, mm-hmm. You know, like it really is. It's shitty what our country is going through and what our earth is going through. Like, I feel that too. And I also feel how lucky it is to have a choice to do something about it. Like, mm-hmm. That is powerful.
Yeah. I think you're pioneering in a way that you know how, which is creating small groups of intimate circles within social media and trying to do work outside of social media. We're all figuring this out at the same time, yeah. You know, and I'm glad you're doing the work and kind of showing us how you can. And not everyone will take that advice or even like the way you're doing it, but someone's got to go that way. Yeah. And you have plenty of people who are happy to follow you that way.
There really isn't just one reason why I quit the trail. The first week I was out there, Eric had a friend that completed suicide. It was completely unexpected. Unfortunately, this triggered a lot in Eric, and after hearing how he was doing day after day by connecting on my Garmin, it felt like coming home and helping him take care of the dogs was the right decision for us and our family. I really wanted to stay. I kept asking myself, why do I feel this pressure to stay? What is keeping me here? Do I have something to prove? Why does it have to be right now? And that's when it all kind of just hit me. I came out here to understand the art of balance. And understanding the art of balance means taking every part of myself into consideration, taking in my mind, taking in my anxiety, taking in the way my body was feeling, taking in the emotions that I felt when Eric told me that he was depressed. Living in America makes you feel like you have to do things just because you committed to it, to prove that you are strong enough. I think that the stronger thing is listening to yourself, and instead of ignoring it, following that little voice inside your body that is telling you the right decision for yourself, regardless of what other people think or how they're going to respond. Checking in with my soul meant checking in with my intentions, my inner thoughts, my motives, my projections, which thankfully I had a lot of time to do when I was out there. With everything going on with Eric and at home, I wasn't able to be present enough to enjoy the trail like I really wanted to. Staying on the trail and pushing through would mean pushing longer distances and days, which I'd promised my body I wouldn't do unless I was ready to. Staying on the trail also meant challenging my mind to focus on the present moment, which I was able to do until I simply wasn't anymore. I'll never forget Liz's reaction when I told her that I was quitting the trail. She said that it was the most confident and happy I looked since I started the trail. In the spirit of balance, let's end this episode with some fun.
Fire questions. What is it called? Shooting fire questions. Shooting.
Rapid fire. Wow.
Nice. Rapid fire questions.
Right, rapid fire questions.
Okay, ready? I'm gonna just do them from my memory.
Okay.
What food would you eat for the rest of your life?
Breakfast.
No, a food.
Can I pick all of it?
No.
Eggs.
That's so weird.
Can it be like a meal?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Just yeah, one food. I mean, no, I guess it could be pizza. Because that's a lot of many foods. Yeah, but breakfast is a lot of foods.
Let's say breakfast is eggs, hash browns, and bacon.
I actually really appreciate that. If you had to have one superpower for the rest of your life, can I try guessing?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
If you had to have one superpower for the rest of your life, you would...
All right, multiple choice. Flying, that's an obvious one. swimming underwater, like breathing underwater, I should say. People can swim underwater, normal people. Breathing underwater. Okay, so we have flying, we have breathing underwater, we have instant teleportation.
That one's it.
Yeah, it is!
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because the other ones you sucked at explaining. What would your theme song be?
Oh my god, how am I supposed to go fast on
you
that?
You have 2 seconds. One, two.
Oh jeez, a theme song.
Every single time you walked in a room.
A single mom. You know that song?
No.
It's the Reba theme song. It's a great one.
Is that what you would do?
I mean, I'm not a single mom, and I don't work 2 jobs. But it's about a strong woman. You know, she's a survivor.
Just so you know, this is what you'd walk out to every single time you would enter a room.
I'd love that.
All right, next question. What is your Enneagram type?
9. See, that's a rapid fire question.
What is your wing?
1.
What does that mean about yourself?
It means that I do desperately avoid adding any ripples to any water anywhere at any time. It also makes me a very empathetic person and a very good listener because I enjoy when the responsibility of talking is on someone else and I can just like listen and go from there.
What is your favorite thing about yourself?
My sense of humor.
That is your favorite thing about yourself?
It is, actually.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
That is the episode. Thanks for listening. But before you go and switch to the next podcast or song or whatever you're doing, I want to share some new changes and updates to the podcast and beg you, please, 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 to fill out a survey that is linked on the show notes. I love podcasting, but I want to make sure that we are creating the most relevant content that serves you best by hearing your opinions and your ideas. I'm super open to feedback. I want to hear from you about what you like and what you don't like. So make sure you take the survey and consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen. It's a fast, free way to support the show, and it actually very much so makes a difference in helping other people find this podcast. Which brings me to our Patreon, which supports the show, Grizel Caminas Patreon, which will allow you to get early release episodes and join such an amazing community of people who are just wanting to better themselves too. And lastly, if you want to interact more with me or follow my journey as I navigate what balance is now that I am back home, make sure you find me on social media @_Grizel_. I'm posting trail content and mental health content, and we got a lot of awesome workshops that we are about to announce, so make sure you check that out too. Intro music is created by a 2-person band, which includes myself. You can find our music, including the song you heard in the very beginning of this episode, on Spotify by searching Passiflora.